Okay, so Revelation 21:5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making
everything new.
Should we try that again? He who was seated on the throne said, I am making
everything new.
So we're going to be carrying on looking at this series of all things new. And the title that I was given today is New Name. Now, there are three things I'm going to tell you right from the beginning. There are three things that I am going to talk to you today about this topic of new name. Number one, names are important.
Yeah.
So number one, names are important. Number two, the devil wants to take away your name.
Yeah.
And number three, God gives you a new name.
Yeah.
So three things that I want you to take away from today. Names are important. The devil wants to take away your name. And God wants to give you a new name. So, let's start off at the beginning. Names are important.
Yeah.
We name everything. We name children. I put a picture to put up on the screen. And this is, I'll be honest, it's not really showing up very well. This is the only picture I could find of my car, or our car, I should say, when looking through the computer. Generally, there's about 20,000 pictures of Grace that Diane's taken on her phone. And in the middle of that, so it's not really snowing for any reason. There's no message about the snow. But you see, when we bought this car was given a name. Now, I refer to the car. If anybody asks me what car we've got, I refer to it by the name that the manufacturer gave it. So I call our car a Honda Civic iVTEC 1.8 SE. And normally, when I have that conversation with a bloke, they'll go, oh, okay. Generally speaking, Diane has a name for this car that's not Honda Civic iVTEC 1.8 SE. Diane calls this car Pixie. Now, if you dim the lights, you might just about be able to see why, but you can't really make it out very well there. But there's a little bit of a clue as to why she calls it Pixie. If anyone can see the registration number, the end of it is PXC, which she thought, hey, that says Pixie. So for the last however many years, Diane affectionately refers to our car as Pixie, whereas I refuse to call it that, and I call it Honda Civic 1.8 iVTEC SE. So, names are important. We name our possessions. Things that we get really emotionally attached to, we give them names. We name our children. We name shops. Companies have names, and we associate things with the names of everything that we interact with. We judge things according to their names. You probably have looked at the name of a restaurant and made a decision as to whether or not you think the food will taste good based on the name written outside the shop. I'll be honest with you, I'm sure I'm not the only one that when you've heard the name of another child that you've never met before, sometimes you make a bit of a judgment about the name that child's been given. Maybe you think it's not a very good name, or it's a bit of an unusual name, you know, Ferrari or something like that. Maybe you hear a name, you make a judgment. Yeah, I know you all do it, so don't pretend that you don't. So we make judgments based on names. In fact, Proverbs 22, verse 1 says this: a good name is more desirable than great riches.
Yeah.
To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. So the quality of your name is a really important thing. You see, the world often tries to tell us that our name is not important. In fact, there's a really famous quote from Shakespeare, from Romeo and Juliet, that says, what's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Which is basically saying, it don't matter what your name is, what your surname is, I still love you. So, kind of the world tells you, you know what, names aren't that important. But actually, names are really, really important. So we're going to look a little bit further about why names are important. Names are our reputation. When someone says your name, they associate something to do with you. It's a reference point. It's a way of people knowing who they're talking about or who they're referring to. We use names for accountability. How many of you, when you phoned up a call center, say, and can you tell me your name, please? And write it down, because then if you think, if I ever have to call them back, I know the person. A long time ago, which seems like a different lifetime, I worked for a company called Gallagher's Tobacco. And I was living near Crewe at the time, which was where their head offices was. And I worked in a call centre. And there was about five or six of us in this call centre. And basically, this was what our job was. You know, when you go to the supermarket or you go to the corner shop, they have that big display behind the counter and it's got all the packets of cigarettes lined up. Yeah. And now it's always shut because they're not allowed to show you the packets. Yeah. So these displays were behind the counter. And I worked in the call centre where someone would phone up if there was a problem with their display. And usually they fell into one of two categories. They were either phoning from Tesco's or another massive company, or they were a little independent corner shop. And the way that it worked was if they were Tesco's, we would make sure someone came out and fixed their shutter the same morning. And if they were a little corner shop, we'd say it's going to be a couple of days. And it would often, they'd get pushed down the list because other things were more important, the big companies, which is not really a very good way of doing it, but there you go. So I remember this day when this guy phoned up and I had a headset on a little bit like this and it used to ping and I used to answer the phone. And this guy was absolutely fuming and I said, you know, what can I do for you, sir? And he was saying, I phoned up 3 days ago and my shutter has broken and I can't sell any cigarettes and this is one of my biggest incomes and I'm losing money every day this shutter don't get opened. And you're trying to calm the guy down and say, right, and who was it that you spoke to? And it went on for a few minutes before I got to the who was it you spoke to bit. And I'm going, right, I'm sure it can all be sorted. Who was it that you spoke to? And he went, his name was James. And I sat there for a minute, and I'm not proud of this moment. And I thought, there's no way I could tell him my name's James at this point because I've spent the last 15 minutes listening to it, and actually it could well have been my fault. So I was like, right, okay, well, I'll make sure he gets the message. and then kind of moved on to the next job. I thought, right, I better really sort that out and, you know, repent and all the rest of it. So our names are really important. We have that level of accountability based on our name. And like I say, not a proud moment, but there you go. It's the truth. So the Bible frequently gives us names based on our characteristics. So you'll often get a person in the Bible with a name, and when you look into the meaning of their name, there is something really important in the meaning of their name. In fact, God kind of took it one step further than that, because what he starts to do is he starts to give people new names. He changes their name when significant events take place in their life. He gives them a new name to represent the point that they're at in their life. So to give you an example of that, we've got Saul, and Saul's name means prayed for, and God changed his name to Paul, which means humble. There was Simon, whose name means he has heard, whose name was changed to Peter, which means stone or rock, and then he goes on to say, on this rock I will build my church. So the name that God gave him was important for that, the point in his life that he was at and what God was taking him through. Abram means high father, and yet God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many, which represents the fact that all nations came from Abraham. So there's these times where names are changed, and it's really important that we understand that names were changed for a reason. As a church, we changed our name. So we were used to be Louth Christian Fellowship, now we're Generations Church, and there was a reason for that name. Thank you, Joe. There was a reason for that name. And that's because we wanted our name to represent the place that God has brought us to and what we felt called to as a church. So we were called to a church that is open and welcome to all generations. So we changed our name to something that represented that. You know, one of the most important times for naming is when you name a child. And for me, the process of coming up with the name of our daughter, Grace, it wasn't just a name we plucked out of the air. There was a process, there was a journey which God took us through to get to that name. And the journey kind of really starts at the point when my first marriage broke down. And at the time when it all kind of kicked off, the very first night, I remember knocking on Math and Joe's door at some ridiculous hour of the morning, and then welcoming me in, and I slept in their spare room, which is now Ollie's room, Caitlin's room, because they swapped. I remember staying up all night, and I couldn't sleep, and I read the book of Job. And in that very moment, God made a promise to me. And as the book of Job ends with this promise that Job's life would be restored to a double blessing of everything that he had before, God made me this promise about restoration. And that really stuck with me. And on the back of that, I just had this verse, which is 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" And God gave me that verse. And then the story kind of developed a little bit further, you see, because a little bit further down the line, I met Diane. And I remember we hadn't known each other very long. And I remember driving along the motorway and I was chatting to Diane on my hands-free kit. And we kind of got onto this conversation about baby names. And I remember saying, "What sort of names do you like?" And I remember Diane going, "I quite like the name Grace." And I just remember just sitting in silence thinking, well, that's a bit weird, isn't it? And then I remember just laughing, which admittedly now, thinking back, was probably not the response that Diane was looking for at the other end of the phone. To which she started saying, "Well, why don't you like that name? What's wrong with the name?" And then I kind of told her the story of what God had done already. But the point I'm trying to make is that names are important. Yeah. Names are significant. Names actually have a meaning. You know, when we marry, traditionally, the woman will take the husband's surname. And actually, did you know that in the Bible, there aren't really any surnames? There are different names normally used to describe something about the person, John the Baptist. In fact, there's only one name in the Bible that sounds a bit like a surname, and that's Mary Magdalene. But that actually wasn't her surname. It just meant Mary from Magdala, which just meant it's where she was from, so we called her based on where she was from. So there weren't really any names. So, in fact, that's probably the equivalent, and I just had to throw this in there. That's like the equivalent of us calling Billy Three Eggs. Which for anyone was at the men's breakfast, that kind of hopefully explains a little bit why. So Billy Three Eggs is what we would call him if he didn't have a surname. We would describe him based on some characteristic about him. So surnames came about as a result of describing the characteristics of the person that you were describing, whether it's that their career or how much breakfast they like or whatever, or where they were from or whatever it may be. But the thing is, names describe us, but they don't define us. Names are changeable. In fact, sometimes the names that we're given are not the names that we're to go on to be. So changing our name is also a really important part. You see, that kind of nicely brings me on to my second point, and that's this. The devil wants to take your name. And if you think of examples in the world, there are times when people's names have been removed from them. And it's usually in a demeaning way. So whether that's a bully on the school playground changing the name of someone as a way of insulting them and hurting their feelings, or whether we look at concentration camps where people's names were removed and replaced by numbers, it was a way of dehumanizing those people. When you take away their name, you take away something about their personality, the things that they like, the things that they don't like. All of that is all tied in to their name. And from that, we get the famous quote from the prisoner, "I am not a number, I am a free man." That actually, there's something really important about our names. We're going to turn to the book of Daniel for a few minutes. And we're going to have a look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And it says this: "The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego." You see, the king understood the significance of their names. He understood that there was something about their culture and what was kind of bred into them through their names. And if we have a look at what their names mean, you'll kind of get what I'm talking about. So Daniel, his name meant God is my judge. Hananiah, the ayah bit at the end, was a way of referring to God, like the word Yahweh. Mishael, the El, was a name for God. The Azariah was another reference to Yahweh. So these four guys who were taken out of where they were meant to be and taken to Babylon, taken into captivity, had names that took them back to where they were from. Their names defined the culture that they grew up in. And yet the king knew that that needed to change. So he changed their names. And the names he gave them were significant too. To Daniel, it was Belteshazzar, which means Bel protects my life, who was one of the Babylonian gods. Hananiah became Shadrach. And Shadrach means under the command of Aku, god of the moon. So his name, which was a reference to the Hebrew god, was changed as a submission to these Babylonian gods. The name Mishael was changed to Meshach, which literally translates as who is what Aku is, or basically the same as Aku, which was this god of the Babylonians. And then Azariah, his name was changed to Abednego, which meant servant of Nego, which was another Babylonian god. You see, the king understood that their names defined who they were and where God had placed them. And the first thing he did when they moved into captivity was take that away from them, to dehumanize them, to take away everything that God had placed in their life and try and submit them into this worship of other gods. You see, the devil tries to do the same thing. He tries to take away the names that God has given us. And he tries to call you by the things that overwhelm you. Those things that we've talked about, the fear. Yeah. The devil calls you by that name. But that's not your name. I read this quote online and it says, the devil knows your name and calls you by your sin. But yet, God knows your sin and calls you by your name. And that just blew me away. The devil knows your name, but yet he doesn't want to refer to you by your name, the name that you were given. He wants to refer to you by your actions, the things that you know you've done wrong. So the fear, the anxiety, the things that you've done during the week that you're not proud of, they're the names that the devil uses over your life. And yet God says that is not your name. God gives you a new name. He gives you a name that you can be proud of. He gives you a name that represents who God calls you to be. And the devil doesn't want you to have that name. He wants to grind you down and call you by the things that stop you actually moving forward in your faith. So, point number three, God gives you a new name. Isaiah 62 verse 2 says this, the nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. Now, if we take a look at this passage, what they're actually talking about in Isaiah is Jerusalem. They're talking about Zion. And Zion is a bit of Jerusalem. It's a hill in Jerusalem where a little bit of Jerusalem was built, the city of David, which is like a small bit of Jerusalem. So when he's talking about changing the name, he's talking about changing the name of Jerusalem. But there are some amazing parallels with our life and how that really can tell us amazing things about the name that God gives us. You see that reference in Revelation? Right at the very beginning, I am making all things new, is also a reference to Jerusalem, to Zion. All things new. It's all about God rebuilding Jerusalem. If you look at Jerusalem today, the words we associate it with are things like war or a battle between Muslims and Jews fighting for that land. We think of poverty. We think of all the suffering that takes place in Jerusalem. And yet God has already declared that that very city has a new name. And that city will not always be like that. And yet God wants to bring something new into that city. You see, it goes on in Isaiah 62 to describe the names that God gives to Jerusalem. And these are the names that it gives. It says a crown of splendor, which we've already talked about crowns today. I love this verse. It says a crown of splendor in his hand. You know, when God sees Jerusalem and when he sees you, he doesn't see a crown that he wants to put on his head. Because when you put a crown on your head, what you're saying is, see all this great stuff about this crown. That's what I want you to think about me. All of the power that's associated with this crown, look at me and think about all that power. And yet, what God does is he takes this crown and it says he holds it in his hand. Like as if he's kind of showing it off to everybody. And I imagine that picture of you, that actually God gives you this new name and thinks you're so amazing that he don't want to put you on his head. He wants to hold you up and go, look how amazing this is. This is my crown. And that's what he sees when he sees you. This is my crown. He also uses the word a royal diadem, which kind of just means like a headband. And it's a similar kind of illustration. He's talking about holding it out and saying, look at this. This is brilliant. This is brilliant. This is what I made. And it's great. He says that Jerusalem will no longer be deserted or desolate. And he gives it new names. It uses some fancy names. But basically it says, my delight is in this. I think this is brilliant. It uses words that kind of associate it with marriage, saying this thing that was desolate, that was barren, that people had thrown to the side as waste, I'm bringing something new to it. And when he talks about Jerusalem, he's saying it's going to bear fruit. It's going to bring something amazing. And yet he says the same thing over your life. He says, when I give you a new name, you are going to bear fruit. You are going to bring something that you have never brought before. Yeah. And that's an amazing thing to know. You see, God knows every single one of us. He knows us all by name. He doesn't see us all as this faceless crowd. He knows every single one of us. You see, names are really important. They're important to our relationship with God. They're important to our salvation. Here it says, everyone whose name is found in the book of life will receive salvation. Our names are important. And yet, his name is even more important because it says in Joel, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you see, your name is important. And the name that God places over your life is important. So kind of where's all this going? You know, the devil doesn't want you to know your name. He doesn't want you to understand the power in the name that God has given you, the name that he's put over your life. And yet God wants you to understand the power. God knows you each one by name. But you see, it gets even better than that, because that's not the end of the story. You see, in John 3:3, it says, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You see, right at the very beginning, one of the most significant points at which you give something a name is when you name a child. And yet God says that this act of being born again, he gives you a new name. You know, that word born again, it means something from above. It means start again. It means from the top, which always makes me think of some old jazz singer with a gruff voice going, from the top, guys. From the top, it means he's going to start again. Everything that's happened up to this point, start again. Yeah. So this point in our lives where we become born again, God gives us a new name with a new power over our life, that everything that happened before is washed away, and this new name equips us to be the person that God has called us to be. You see, it then says in Revelation this, it says, to him who overcomes, I will give some hidden manna. I will give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. You know, that name that God gives you is a name that represents your salvation. When it talks about a white stone, some people think that it was because in the past that you either got a black stone or a white stone when you were on trial. And a white stone meant you were innocent. And a black stone meant you were guilty. And they also use white stones as tickets into events. So, you know, now we get a printed off nice little ticket saying what band we're going to see. They gave you a white stone and it gave you entrance into a feast, into normally a feast in the temple. And do you know what? When God gives you a new name, he gives you a ticket into a feast. And the Bible talks about that feast, talking about, actually, we're talking about our ticket into heaven. We're talking about our salvation. That name that God gives you represents your salvation. You see, if we look over those passages, there are different bits of the name that God gives you. You know that God gives you his name. And in the same way that when Diane married me, she took my surname. When you become the bride of Christ, you take his name, his authority. When you're given a new name, you're named like the city of God, Jerusalem, and all those things that God says about Jerusalem, he says about you as well. So God says that you will bear fruit. He says that you will no longer be barren. He says that you will no longer be at war. You will have peace. And God gives that name to you over your life. He gives you the name, his name, Jesus, the Son. In fact, do you know what? When he gives you that stone that's got a new name on it, you don't have to worry about the name on there, because do you know what? Your ticket into heaven, your salvation is not based on your name. It's based on his name.
Yeah.
And he gives you his name. And last of all, he says, I give you a name known only to the one who receives it. And that tells me something. That tells me that I don't know what name God gives you. The only person who can tell you that fourth name that God gives you is you and God and your relationship with him. You see, the first three are set. Name of God, Jesus, and all of those things to do with Jerusalem. God says, you've all got that name over your life. But the fourth thing he says, only you know, and only God knows that fourth name that I give you. So here's the challenge as we draw this to a close. Whatever name the devil has tried to put in your life, whatever he's tried to remove, God has something planned for you. Some purpose that nobody else knows. Some name that I can't give you. Some name that God wants to speak directly into your life. Maybe you know what that name is. Maybe you know what God is speaking to you about. But maybe you're like, wow, I haven't got a clue what name you have over my life, God. I can tell you that it's not fear and anxiety and depression and worry and sin, because we know that. But God has a new name for you. And he has a new name for you today. So my challenge is this. Do you want to know what God's name for your life is? Because if you do, that will take you into this new relationship with God, new depth of your understanding of God. It will empower you to live the life that God has called you to. and it will bring something new to your life.